Hello and welcome to my art update podcast thingy. This is update number 101, Bills and Focaccia. Sounds like a couple, Bill and Focaccia. That's right, Bill married an Italian lady. This podcast is designed to keep people who know me, Andrew Rollner, up to date about what is going on with everybody marrying Italian people. No, with what's going on for me artistically. Some life updates might get rolled into that because, you know, they just will. You know, not might. They will. They do. They are. Yeah. Anyway, if you know me, you're welcome here. I hope you don't feel like I've twisted your arm or anything into listening. Feel free not to listen. Although, if you are listening, maybe drop me a line so I know, because I really feel like I'm broadcasting into the void at the moment. Yeah, but this is just for people who are interested. But like I said, if you're interested and you're listening, let me know you're out there, because this is very, I mean, I'm doing this for myself, but it would kind of be nice to know if anybody else is listening. Yeah, if you don't know me, also you could drop me a line. But you're also welcome to listen. This might not make much sense because this isn't like a general consumption podcast. Anyway, if you are just joining now, you might want to check out updates 1, 2, 52, and 98. Those are sort of all my recordings that are looking back. And they'll cover the last 21 years or so of my life since leaving Canada. It's probably the best way to get caught up. I do not advise listening to all 101 episodes. That's just, I didn't record this podcast to be listened to that way. It's meant to be listened to contemporaneously, except for those sort of year in review updates that I do. Yeah. So there's that. Anyway, so what's happening now? What's happening this week? Well, I'm feeling like I'm really behind. I'm only getting about one study session in a week for my project management certificate. I was hoping for two or three. And as I predicted in my update, number 99, looking ahead to the year, I am already kind of getting overwhelmed and it hasn't even started. And then not just artistic stuff. I'm sad to say getting overwhelmed by bills. I just got a bill from the city for health insurance, which is an extra, like, I don't know who's listing, so I don't know what currency to put this in, but it's like an extra $1,800 Canadian. I just wasn't expecting to have to deal with that. I mean, I knew it was coming, but I wasn't expecting, as last year wrapped up, that I was going to have to deal with this. And just getting it is sort of like, I did know it was coming, but it's quite a blow. And they expect payments on that, like, right now. But, you know, of course, it's manageable because they're letting me pay in installments of $600 that I also don't have. This is all because in 2023, I made a couple hundred bucks over the limit that I needed to stay under to stay on the family insurance plan that's provided by my wife's work. I should have mentioned that this limit, it's hasn't been changed in something like 15 or 20 years. And wages are pretty stagnant in Japan, but not on the lowest end, right? So making basically between 1.1 and 1.5 million yen, that used to be, you could kind of, like a single person could potentially sort of live cheaply on that. That would almost be impossible now. So the idea of a second income earner in the family having to stay under that amount, it would be really hard to do that and also provide a meaningful amount of income into the family. So there's a lot of talk about updating it, but they haven't updated it. I don't know why governments don't put these things on something that matches inflation or wage growth or something like that. I just think it should be automatic, but it's not. Oh, and by the way, I also have a maybe $3,000 pension bill coming in soon for the same reason. That one might take a bit longer because I asked them to reevaluate how much I owed. I'm not against paying my dues, but this is a lot and it's a lot at once. And you know what else is a lot at once? Focaccia! A much happier topic and something I learned how to do this winter. And why is it a lot? It's because I learned to do it with a kilogram of flour. So I posted a couple of shots of my focaccia on Instagram and people have asked for the recipe. I am going to provide that here, even though I don't think any of those people are actually listening to this, but I'm going to provide the recipe here. This is what I do. I will probably make a video of this at some point, but here, let me just pull my recipe thing out. I scribbled this down while this guy, Matteo, showed me how to do it up at in Niigata. So you take 124 grams of flour, a kilogram of flour. He was doing 124 because I think he does some computer science and stuff. And that is a significant number because it is basically bytes and megabytes and gigabytes are denominated in multiples of 1024. So if you've ever thought that, like, oh, 1 gigabyte, that's 1,000 megabytes. It's not. It's 1,024 megabytes. And a megabyte is 1,024 kilobytes. And a kilobyte is 1,024 bytes. So anyway, now you know. But a kilogram of flour, bread flour. I guess you could use all-purpose flour if you're in Canada and they don't, like, I use bread flour in Japan because we don't really have all-purpose flour here. We've got basically cake flour and bread flour. So 1 kilogram of bread flour, 20 grams of salt, 16 grams of instant yeast, and 1 liter of water. And that's it. You just mix it together until it's well mixed. It's a little runny, usually, the dough. And then you put it in some kind of container, a big container, because that's 2 kilograms of dough. And it's going to rise a lot. So big container. So you take that and you put that in the fridge for 12 hours. Okay? Up to 3 days, but at least 12 hours. And then after 12 hours, at least 12 hours, you take it out and you pour it into the container you're going to cook it in. You're going to bake it in. So for me, that's been a giant Dutch oven that I have. That's been a problem, which I'll talk about in a minute. So you'll pour it into that, or I've sometimes divide, for me, I divide it in half and I pour it into my only sort of bread pan. So I can do half the recipe in that at a time and then bake the second half afterwards. But then once it's in that container, which, by the way, a lot of the recipes say you should, like, oil and blah, blah, blah. No, don't do that. Get parchment paper, line your container with parchment paper. It will make your life so much easier. You will not be pulling focaccia that is stuck to a pan out of the pan. So line the damn thing with parchment paper, pour the focaccia dough in, you know, scrape all of it in there, and then let that sit at room temperature for 4 hours. Even if your room temperature is pretty cold, like ours is here, because Japanese houses don't have great insulation, let it sit for 4 hours. It's going to rise a lot again. You should be covered. So you can use plastic wrap, but I've noticed that the dough sticks to plastic wrap. So what I've been doing is I've got a plastic sort of thin cutting board, and I oil one side of it and put that on top of the bread pan or whatever. And the advantage to that is that if the dough rises beyond the top of the pan, it will touch that, but it'll be oiled so it won't stick. If you use plastic wrap, it really loves to stick to the cling wrap. And it's really hard to get off, and it kind of, you lose dough doing that. If it's in the Dutch oven, I can just put the Dutch oven cover on. My Dutch oven is like a 6-quart Dutch oven. So that dough is not rising enough to come out the top of that. And then after 4 hours, you preheat your oven to 220 degrees, and then you wet your finger, not in your mouth. This sounds like you're giving someone a wet willy, but no, you're just going to wet your finger. You might have to do this a couple of times. And with a wet finger, you're just going to stab it into the dough at sort of regular intervals. That's what makes the divots in the focaccia. You might have to wet your finger several times during this because the dough will start sticking to it after a few push downs. And you want to push it in almost... You want to touch kind of the bottom of the vessel that you're going to be cooking in. Then once you've done that, you take a whole bunch of garlic, like lots of garlic, and you whip it into the dough. You just go, the guy, Matteo, who taught me, said, throw it like you're mad. And when I asked how much garlic, he said too much. So I counted, it was about 20 cloves that he did. So whip that in, and then you're going to grind some salt, or you sprinkle salt. If you have that flaky salt, that's the best. I don't have any of that. I've got like a Himalayan salt in a grinder, so I just grind that a little bit on top. So you've got the garlic in the, and then you put rosemary on, sorry, you put the olive oil on top, but it doesn't have to be olive oil. Olive oil's gotten really expensive because of the problems happening down in I think Italy with the olive harvest. So I've actually been using avocado oil. It's fine. And then you put a shit ton of rosemary on top. What I've been doing recently as well is I buy these dry sun-dried tomatoes because the dry ones are cheaper than the ones in oil. And then I just soak them in oil overnight. And then I also put them in, but don't put them on top or they're just going to burn. What you want to do is those holes that you poked with your finger, you want to take a spoon and you want to have the oil soaked sun-dried tomatoes, really small pieces. If you bought the kind that are in oil, chop them into little pieces. This will be better. And you take that spoon, you kind of like insert them into those holes. Okay, so now you've got the garlic, the oil, the rosemary, maybe the sun-dried tomatoes. Now your oven should be ready at 220 degrees Celsius, which I think is 425 Fahrenheit. But you know what? Check that, because I don't know, because I use sane temperatures, because I live in a metric country that actually has metric things on its ovens. Once it's preheated, stick it in the oven, bake it. I was told for at least 20 minutes. It'll depend on your oven, right? So if your oven tends to get really hot, if it's on the hotter side, I think it's going to be closer to 20 minutes. It might be as long as 40 minutes. Now, my problem is I have a Dutch oven. So that thing takes for, if I cook it in that thing, if I bake the bread in that thing, it takes forever to come up to temperature. So I actually have to leave it in a lot longer with the lid on so that the top doesn't burn. And I have to bake that almost like 30 minutes. I think next time I'll probably even do 45 minutes before I take that off and then start baking. Otherwise, I always end up with like uncooked dough in the middle. In a regular pan, regular bread pan, you're going to want to do, probably 30 to 40 minutes. You want to take it out when you can't. A lot of the recipes say, oh, when the bottom is brown. I'm like, well, you can't see the bottom. What the hell? So there's a helicopter going over. You have to excuse me. So what you're going to do is you wait till the top is really brown. Like not just a little golden brown. You want it to be not burned, not anywhere close to burned, but like a medium brown, I say is good. Because then you can be sure that the dough is cooked all the way through. It'll still be fluffy, don't worry. And the top is better if it's crunchy anyway. So then you take it out. You let it cool for like 10 minutes in the pan. That hopefully will help cook the bottom part if it's not cooked yet. You can test it with like a wooden skewer or something. But honestly, there's not much you can do. Once the top is brown, you can't put it in any longer because the damn thing will just burn. And then that's it. Sit for 10 minutes and pop it out onto a rack and let it rack. Is that what it's called? You know, with the liney things that you put cookies on, whatever it's called. You just let it cool there. And within 20 minutes, you can probably eat it. It'll be hot. I know a lot of people say don't cut bread when it's still hot, but screw them. It tastes great when it's still hot. So that's it. That's focaccia. There, you've learned something. I've contributed to life. Just going to do a few updates. Because you came here to hear updates and I haven't done any updates yet. Here are the updates. This week, theater updates. YTG, Interference. That's the show that we're working on right now. Spate of Illnesses and Misfortune canceled Tuesday's rehearsal. A couple people were, one person was not feeling well. Two other people had extenuating circumstances and just there were not enough people to run rehearsals. So I was halfway to the theater. I had to turn around and go home. Barbara, the main artist for this project, has started building some of the pieces on her own. I think I mentioned this last time, but these are, I think, beyond the pieces that we agreed on. And so we've had to have a discussion about don't spend money without talking to me. The thing is, I'll give her this. She's putting her money where her mouth is and she's spending the money herself. But I also know that her financial situation is not great and she shouldn't be doing that. And she just needs to wait until I start selling tickets so that I have money and I can pay for this stuff. That YTG rather can pay for this stuff so that none of us are out of pocket on it. We are super shorthanded there are not enough people. I need to recruit just more performers and also just more people to be in the rehearsal. Maybe someone even to do childcare. It is very hard to rehearse with two adorable children running loose in the space, which is where we're at right now, because childcare is not highly accessible in Japan, especially if you don't want it full time. We're super shorthanded. And I'm still having trouble understanding the project. So that's where interference is this week. We're going to take another crack at it next week. We're going to come up with scenes that we can actually just start working on, so that if Barbara isn't there and Marco, the collaborator in Paris, can't be on the call, that the rest of us have something we can work on. And I need to recruit more people. Okay. Updates for Anxiety, which is the other show that is going up in the summer. I am actually in the process of making the contracts. I've got one done. I've got the artist contract done. I've got to do the playwright contract. I'll send those off to Davian tomorrow, and hopefully then the money will come. Yeah. I just found out though, the issue with that is that he wants to transfer it through PayPal, and because of anti-money laundering laws, I'm not sure PayPal will even accept that much as like the show budget. So I'm trying to convince him to find another way to send it. He really wants to do PayPal, and I'm really not comfortable with that, because I'm really worried that PayPal Japan will just grab the money and hold on to it indefinitely, because they're kind of famous for the PayPal in general is famous for that. PayPal Japan is extra famous for that. So yeah, that's where I am with this. I need to send the application for the studio off tomorrow. I've contacted Steep Slope Studio. They've told me that Studio 2 is available. I was originally going to book Studio 4, but I realized it's probably too small, because their cast full size with everybody there might be 12 people. And that room's capacity is 12 people, which means there's no room for support staff. So I'm booking a different space, and they're being very kind too. Like, the application's all in Japanese, but they're replying to me in English, which is really very kind. And they've told me that they will, the Studio 2 is only available until the 18th of July, which is really the length of time we needed it. But I was thinking about booking another week, just so that when we're doing tech week, that the group that's not in doing technical stuff can be at that space rehearsing something. But they've told us we can rent the hall for that week. I can always cancel it if we get closer to the date and it doesn't look like we're going to use it. But they said we can use the hall, so that's the giant space in their building. We can use that space for the same price as Studio 2. So that was very, very kind of them. And I need to create Trello boards for both of these projects. For Anxiety. And need to create a Trello board for that. Nerd Night, no more updates on that. Next event is February 22nd. Please, 22nd. I'm literally looking and seeing 21 and saying 22nd. Next event is February 21st. That will be available via live stream as well as in person. Check it out, tokyo.nerdnight.com. It's going to be fun. Don't know who the speakers are. I'll tell you next time. Photography stuff. I have sent in my invoice and have been told that I have to wait until the client approves the final headshots, which means I should not have delivered them without watermarks. I don't think they're going to try to pull a fast one on me, but it's just one of those things. I think I need to be more aggressive about not releasing non-watermarked photos until I have money in my hand or my bank account. Yeah. Okay. Yesterday project. No updates on that. I'm writing an email right now to Keiko just to let her know where we are with the project, but I need to create a budget and a Trello board for that so I can start assigning jobs to the people I have. To Miku, Miku, who's the intern, and Mayuko, who's helping. I need to assign them tasks on this. I need to price out things like studios so I can make the budget. So need to create the Trello board for that. The sustainability project, I still want to rewrite, no updates. And no other updates that I can think of. I did the big focaccia thing at the beginning, so I don't need to do that now. Thank you so much for listening. And yeah, I am overwhelmed. I've got bills all over the place, but I'm actually really excited about the projects that are coming up. Oh, and also Hammy, my son, is starting to make, he started filming, he wants to make YouTube shorts of him creating like iron, called iron beads in Japan. So these little plastic beads that you then like, you put in a shape on a grid and then you like iron them into and then they're a thing. And he's actually really good at that. He can take he can look at a picture of something that's sort of been rendered in sort of three dimensions, and he can flatten it into two dimensions really naturally. He doesn't have to think about it much or plan it out. And so he's making these time-lapse videos of doing that he wants to put up on YouTube Shorts as a, like, for his, yeah. So that's one of the things I've got to do is set up his YouTube account this afternoon. Anyway, so that's it for this update. I will be in touch soon. I still want to release that music update thing. The problem is I haven't got to the point where I have a finished version of any of the songs I'm working on, because that thing is so hard to work with. So that's what's delaying that. Anyway, that's it for me. Andrew.